My message this morning is called Taking Your Inheritance. Taking Your Inheritance. I think the story of Elijah and Elisha is one of those really wonderful messages of the scripture. Something that we often get wrong. I mean, for example, people often say to me, you know, when Elijah was taken to heaven in a chariot of fire, and I always say to them, no. And they say, but it's in the scripture. No, it isn't. Elijah was taken to heaven in a whirlwind. The chariot of fire came to separate everybody from Elijah so the whirlwind could take him up. And people come up with some very cockeyed ideas about what the Bible actually says. But today I just want to have a look at this process and just see what we can pick up from it, because I do believe that God has an inheritance for us. I believe that God has something special for you. And do you know what? I believe it's not over yet. Joan, it's not over yet. God still has more. And, you know, I just want to encourage you all today. God has something new, wonderful. He has a great blessing for you. And it's always for the sake of overflowing. You know that, don't you? He pours things into us so we can overflow into others. That why does God comfort us when we're suffering, when we're bereaved, when we're feeling times of loss? Why does God do that? So that you can comfort others with the comfort you yourselves have received, says the scriptures. You know, God does these things so we can overflow. And he wants his love and his power to overflow out of us to others. So, the story here is Elijah has come to the end of his ministry, and Elisha knows. I think it's important here that we recognize Elisha knows what's about to happen. Elijah is about to be taken into heaven. This is an experience like no one else's. You know, Enoch maybe, but nobody else has ever had this chariot of fire, the angels, if you like, come to separate people so they can't grab hold to him, because they've got permission to take one up, not half a dozen. And, Elisha himself would have grabbed hold of him. The 50 sons of the prophets would have grabbed hold of him. There'd have been 52 going up, and the angels have only got permission for one. So this chariot of fire comes and brings a separation, and then Elijah is taken up to heaven in a whirlwind. So this is the story. And my first point today is wanting God. We know that from time to time, these prophets had apprentices who didn't work out. For example, Gehazi, who we read of being the man who did for Elisha what Elisha did for Elijah. They don't always work out. And the truth is, it's possible to want God inappropriately. Libby went to a conference yesterday, a ladies' conference, and she was appalled at the teaching. You know, the truth is, there are people out there who have forgotten there is a Bible. And if you forget there is a Bible, you lose your point of true north. You know, we go out orienteering with a compass, because the compass will show us true north. And we can use a map and we can work out where we're going, or we just use sat-nav. But whatever it is, we need that reference point. And the Bible is our reference point as Christians. And when we lose that, we lose the entire point. And we can go off on one. And, you know, my mind went to Acts chapter 8, where it says, this is Simon the sorcerer in the Bible, not Simon Peter. Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands. So he offered them money, saying, give me this power. There's such a difference between Simon and Elisha. Elisha says to Elijah, well, Elijah says to him, is there anything I can do for you before I go? And Elisha says to him, I want two shares. Now, some Bibles will say, I want a double portion. That is really not an accurate rendering. You see, in the Old Testament, when someone died, the inheritance was split between their sons. And if they had three sons, the inheritance was split into four, and the eldest got two shares. If they had six sons, the inheritance was split into seven, and the eldest got two shares. If they had two sons, the inheritance was split into three, and the eldest got two shares. And what Elisha was saying to Elijah was, I want to be your inheriting son. I want to be the son that gets the extra share of the inheritance. People say, well, he asked for a double portion, and there are seven miracles attributed to Elijah in the Bible and 14 to Elisha. And I'm not sure that that's anything to do with this. What he was asking for was an extra portion that would indicate he was the inheriting son, so that he was taking on, if you like, the mantle of Elijah. Do you know it's normal to want an inheritance? It's normal. There's nothing wrong with asking God for an inheritance. What we know is there's something wrong with asking for it prematurely. And we should remember that there are times in the Bible where we know that it is wrong, where the prodigal son, for example, asks for his inheritance early. If you want God, it's normal. If you want something from God, that's normal. When you want it to make you look good, or to give you power, or to set you up as something extra, that's wrong. And we know that from Simon the sorcerer. So wanting God is okay. I'd like to ask you today, is there anything you want? Is there anything you want from God today? Is there? Have you asked God about it? Because actually, that's what you need to do. You have to ask. Jesus said, ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking. He told us to do these things because he wants us to recognize he is more keen to give than we are to receive. God wants to bless us. God wants us to know his blessing. God wants to give us all that we can ask or think. And I want to encourage you today that God has something good for you. Ask God. Don't just ask God once. Keep on asking. Keep asking until you receive. And Elisha and Elijah had a bit of an odd journey, didn't they? I mean, you look at it. They go so far, and Elijah says to Elisha, stay here, it's all right. I'm just, God's told me to go here. And Elisha says, I'm not letting go. And Elijah, in another place, says to him, well, it's all right, you don't have to bother coming with me now. And Elisha says to him, I am not letting go. I am staying with you all the way. And you know, actually, God is waiting for us all to show that faithfulness, that commitment to him that says, I'm with you all the way. And you know what? If you're going to be another Elijah, you have to want to go all the way with God. Because Elijah went all the way. Elijah went all the way from earth to heaven with God in the end. And God wants you to know that you can go all the way with him. But we have to ask. Elisha didn't ask for anything improper. Elisha didn't ask for anything inappropriate. He just wanted what he believed he'd asked God for already, and he wanted to receive from the Father. So If you're wanting God appropriately, if you're wanting what God has for you appropriately, if you're asking God and you're carrying on asking, then I want to ask you, what is that in your hand? You remember the story of Moses? Moses has got a mission from God. I want you to go and speak to Pharaoh. I want you to take my word. I want you to tell him, let my people go. But the big thing here is that Moses reckons he's not really up to it. I'm not really sure about this, God. I can't even speak very well. And God says to him something really simple. He says, Moses, what is that in your hand? Now, in a moment, we're going to talk about Elisha picking up the cloak. This version says the mantle. It's the cloak of Elijah. What has Elisha got in his hand? He's got the cloak. What did Moses have in his hand? He had a stick. Now, I don't want to overstate this to you, but when you've just got a stick in your hand, and God says, what is that in your hand? You are quite likely to say, I don't know what you mean, Lord, I haven't got anything. All I've got is this stick. And God says to him, right, we'll use that stick. Moses, remember, is about 80 years old. And God's sending him on a mission that's going to take him 40 years. It's very powerful. God has got a job for you 80-year-old people. God has got a job for you 8-year-old people. 49 years ago, God gave me a job when I was 8. And you know something? God has got a job for you. Whatever your age, whatever you feel about your ability, I can barely understand how God had patience with Moses. I'd have just said, oh, okay then, Moses, you can't talk. And I'd have gone and spoken to the next person. I really would. Thank God he's not me. Thank God he's God. Thank God he's gracious and loving and careful with us. But he does say to Moses, what's that in your hand? And you know what happens. He says to Moses, throw the stick on the ground, and it becomes a serpent. And then he says, grab the tail. And of course, you never grab a serpent's tail. You always grab it by the head so it can't bite you. But God tells him, take its tail, which is the last thing you would do. But Moses obeyed God, took its tail, and it became a stick again. And this became a sign that Moses could do on demand. More than just a parlour trick, it really was an amazing transformation, and Moses could do that whenever asked. Elisha has a cloak in his hand. What can he do with that cloak? What have you got in your hand? You see, you might say, well, all I've got's a little bit of flour, a little bit of water, a little bit of oil. Well, you can be involved in the ladies' bake-off. You know, really, what is there that you have in your hand? Well, let's, as a church, make an opportunity for you to do what you can do with what you've got in your hand. And if we aren't doing that, come and talk to me and say, Stephen, I feel I could do this, but I don't know how I can use this gift, this ability. Well, come and talk to me. We'll find a way. You know, realistically, we need to use what is in our hand. And an 80-year-old man with an old stick, and funnily enough, Joan has lost hers. So if any of you have got a serpent, bring it here and we'll turn it into a stick and she can walk home with it. We need to use what we have got. Do you know the real message of this? The real message is this. Don't be desperately praying for more things to have so you can use them until you've used what you've got. Let's use what we've got now, and God will give us other things to use later. But we need to use what we have. You know, you might say, well, I find it so hard to talk to people about Jesus. But every day you speak to your next door neighbour about the weather. Every day you speak to a person in the street about the offers that are on Tesco's this week. Or which six fruit and vegetables you can buy for 39p at Aldi. You know something? What's in your hand? What opportunity have you had? What opportunity do you get? Use the opportunities that you get. Don't be praying for a team of Mormon missionaries to turn up at your door so you can convert them. Just be happy with talking to your neighbour. We need to use what is in our hand. Finally, more than anything today, we need to take a step of faith. On the screen, we have a clip. Well, it's not a clip. It's a still frame from one of my favourite movies. It's an Indiana Jones movie. It's The Last Crusade. And I don't know if you know it, but at the end, he comes to this huge chasm. And the other side of the chasm, there is a doorway. And behind it is the Holy Grail that he's been looking for. But between him and it, there's nothing. And he suddenly remembers something he's read about taking the step of faith. And he picks up a load of dust and fills his pockets with it and takes a step out into the nothingness. It looks like he's going to fall into a great chasm, but he lands on a glass bridge. A bridge that you couldn't see. And then after he's landed on it, he empties his pockets of the dust and throws it all over the bridge so he can see where he's going. And I always think, I'd have thrown the dust out first. I'd have liked to have seen where I was landing, never mind where my next step was. But this is, I always think, a great image, a great picture of taking a step of faith. You know, there are so many times I have read this scripture, and I've read it, and I've understood it, I've felt, and so many times I've got this idea that Elijah's cloak falls off him on the way up in the whirlwind. I mean, that's quite understandable, isn't it? I mean, if you haven't tied it to your body, it's going to fly away in a whirlwind. And the cloak lands on the floor. And it says this, Elisha cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. And he isn't referring to the blazing chariot that was there. He's talking about the leadership that Elijah had given to Israel. And then he says, he took his own clothes and ripped them in two, which is a typical behavior of a Jewish person when they're bereaved, they rip their clothes. That's a normal behavior for that time and that place. And then it says he picked up the cloak. I cannot express how important this next phrase is, because Elisha could have got down on his knees and said, where now is the God of Elijah? But he believed that what had fallen off Elijah had fallen on him. This is the point. He picked up the cloak because he believed it had fallen for him. You know what he does next? He takes the cloak and he hits the River Jordan and says, where's now the God of Elijah? He isn't praying on his knees, praying, oh God, you know, I've prayed for this double share. I've prayed for this double share of the spirit that was on Elijah. Now will you do something? Now will you do something? And God's saying, no, Elisha, you do something. The cloak has dropped off Elijah. It's up to you to pick it up. And this morning, my message to you, above anything else, is this. Pick up what's fallen in front of you. What's that in your hand? Use it. Pick up the cloak that's fallen it for you. And do what you saw the other person do. You know, it's so powerful to do what Elijah did. And all Elisha did was what he'd seen Elijah do. Elijah took his cloak and smote the river. So Elisha did the same thing with the same cloak. Elisha was saying, I believe that God is going to release in me what he released in Elijah. And guess what? It happened. And it happened so powerfully that the sons of the prophets who'd been watching, all 50 of them, said, ah, the spirit of Elijah now rests on Elisha. It was obvious to the 50 onlookers. I'm not absolutely sure how obvious it was to Elisha, but he went for it. And do you know, today, I've heard some things this week, and I've heard people say, oh, I experienced the call of God. And I experienced the call of God a few times in my life to do a few things. You know, remember, the call of God doesn't necessarily mean one thing forever. Sometimes God calls you to do one thing now. If you have been praying for something from God, maybe you've been praying that God would give you some way of being a blessing to someone else, then what I have to say to you today is, if a cloak has fallen off someone else, pick it up. If you saw them do something with it, you do it too. You know, God is not trying to educate you to do things that no one else has ever done. Mainly and appropriately, God is asking you to do what you have seen others do before you. And I just want to encourage you to receive the blessing, to receive that ministry, to be able to do that thing. You know, when we took over the Halves project, the Methodists had been running it for 7 years. And they'd had a measure of success in meeting people's needs. We've taken that on and made it ours. If you like, Margaret, the woman that ran it, was 90. And she felt that it was time to hang up her boxing gloves. And actually, she knew that she was dying. And we took it on from her. And we took the view, well, the cloak's fallen off Margaret. We'll do with this what Margaret would have done. And we carried it on exactly as Margaret carried it on. And then we brought in this new group on Tuesdays, and we're doing that a little bit different. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with taking up someone's fallen cloak and doing with it what they did. If I could just get you to grasp this point. You see, if Elijah had not picked up that cloak, there would have been no miracle. I just sort of try to look at myself in the scripture. I try to put myself in people's position and ask, how would I have reacted? And I sort of think I would have got on my knees and started pleading the blood of Christ and praying for God to move in me powerfully and lift me up and take me up and do that. And all God is asking is for you to pick up a cloak. It's not actually a big deal, is it? Sometimes we will not bend down to pick something up. We stand there and look at it and we pray for it to come to us. Use the force, Luke. We want to think that if God wants us to use that cloak, he will give it to us. He'll send an angel down who will pick it up, and the angel will lay it on your shoulders and pour a new jug of oil over your head, and you will feel such a warmth of this oil, and you will know you are anointed to use this cloak. But it's in front of you, it's on the floor. Pick it up! Pick it up! What did Stephen talk about today at church? He told us to pick it up! That's the message. Pick it up. Run with it. Hit something with it. Preferably not your husband. You know, Jayam said to me during the notices, I'm not telling my wife about that self-defense course. And, you know, I thought about it and I thought, good on you, Jayam. Good on you. Well done. Yes. You know, really, we have to do something with it. And my message to you is simply, take a step of faith. Pick up that cloak. Hit the Jordan with it. What do you think went through Elisha's head the second he hit the Jordan with that cloak? I know what would have gone through my head was, I'm in trouble now. I've got 50 people watching. All I've done is what Elijah did. It's up to God now. What if it doesn't happen? What if nothing happens? Can I tell you, that is never a reason to not pick up a cloak. Never is. The fact that something happened when Elisha picked up that cloak is a reason why we should always pick up a mantle. We should always pick up a cloak. We should always pick up that which has fallen from somebody else. I remember being in church when one of the great Pentecostal pioneers died. I don't mean he died in front of me. I mean we were told that morning that he had died. And we had a service of remembrance for him. And I went to that service, and I remember standing up and praying in the prayer time. And I said, Lord, will you give us other teachers who will replace this man? Like Elisha replaced Elijah, will you replace this man? And you know what? I prayed that, and I prayed it very sincerely. But I never guessed that God would call me into a teaching and preaching ministry. And I'm not saying I'm ever in the shoes of that man. But what I am saying is I prayed that God would give us that. And he said, right, well, we'll start with you then. And, you know, God will start with you if you pray prayers. Our church needs money, people, skills. It needs loads of things. Why don't you join me in praying that God will provide? But you've got to be prepared that God might also say, come on then, come on. Here's a mantle, here's a cloak, here's a stick, bit of old stick. It's sticky, but it's a stick. It's a bit rough around the edges. One end's pointed. You mustn't shove people with it, otherwise it might go through. But it's a stick. Use it for me. And if you feel today that you're about as much use to God as a bit of old stick, then let me tell you, you are a potential miracle. And God wants to use you as that potential miracle. Elisha could have missed his inheritance that day. All he asked for was that he might be the inheriting son. And he could have missed it that day by ignoring the fallen cloak. He could have said, right, I'm going to that river now, and I'm going to speak to it. but he was missing a cloak. He could have said, I'm going to pray to God now that I come into my inheritance. But he was missing a cloak. No, he did the thing that changed his life and the lives of thousands. Remember, Elisha was the one who, he had so much of the Holy Ghost in him that when he died, they threw a corpse in his tomb and the corpse got up. You know, this is a man, he had something of God. All because he did that which was obvious, that thing that was in front of him to do. He believed that he was now the person who was fit to wear the cloak. Will you take a step of faith today? Come on, let's bow our heads together. This morning, I just want to say to you, we all need to take a step of faith. You might say, well, this isn't for me. I have no calling on my life. Listen! God is calling you. Of course you have a calling on your life. He's called you to Christ. He has renewed your inner being. He has created in you Christ's likeness. All of these things he has done. Of course he's put a calling on your life. If you have anything today that you've been asking God for, then while every head is bowed, I'm not going to call anybody out to the front, but I would like you just to stand where you are. Or if you can't stand, just to raise a hand. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray a prayer corporately for all of us, that we pick up the fallen cloak, that we recognise what we have in our hand. If you've been asking God for something and you just didn't think it was here yet, then today I want to pray a prayer over you that you receive it today and that you pick it up and do something with it. If that's you, just stick your hand up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Pop your hands down. And I'm going to pray that prayer. And I'm going to ask you this week to pick up that which falls in front of you. Would you do that? Father, I pray for these people right now in the holy name of Jesus. Lord, your spirit fell on Elijah. It also fell on Elisha. Your spirit came on Moses. Your spirit came on Peter and Thomas and the other disciples. Your spirit came on 3,000 on the day of Pentecost. Your spirit has come on the people in this room too. And Lord, I'm asking you right now that you will cause cloaks to fall, mantles to fall. I pray that you will help us to see bits of stick that we can do something with. And I ask you above anything else, Father, that you would incite your people to steps of faith, that we might all take the plunge, that we might all strike the water, that we might all take a step for you. So, Lord, for all of those that have indicated this morning, I just pray a fresh anointing. Holy Spirit, come now, hover. Hover over them. Breathe into them. Stir within them the faith that says, the spirit of Elijah is on you. Stir in them the faith that recognized the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells within their mortal body. Holy Spirit, come powerfully and wonderfully. In Jesus' name.